The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I think the old Chinese proverb is, may you live in interesting times, and we certainly are. It's been fun to be at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention this week, and one of my goals was to get to visit with our next guest. He's the senior pastor of the 15,000-member First Baptist Church in Dallas. He has the number one rated program on TBN's lineup. Pathway to Victory is heard all over America. He's a broadcaster, he's a pastor, and he is an unapologetic follower of Christ. Of course, we're talking about Dr. Robert Jeffers, senior pastor, First Baptist Church. Great to see you here in person.
Great to see you in person. It's usually by telephone, so this is great.
I remember running, we used to cross paths in Dallas at the Fox News Channel studios there, where you would do a hit and I would do a hit back when I lived in Dallas.
Yes.
And, those are great memories. I want to talk about your book. I want to talk about Christian nationalism. There's a lot of great things that are right in your wheelhouse. Before we get to any of that, though, let's talk about the atmosphere here at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. It's a special gathering of people who are committed to broadcasting the word of Christ,
right?
And it's people don't understand the magnitude of it or what that community is like. Can you talk a little bit about this experience you've had this week and all the years past at the National Religious Broadcasters?
Well, it's a great organization because, as you say, they are diverse in every way, and yet they're united in one goal, and that is to change the world by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a unity here, Mike, but we've talked about it. There's also some division here about secondary issues and political issues. And it's just a reminder that, you know, what unites us as Christians is not that we're the same on everything, but we have some shared common beliefs. So, you know, we celebrate the unity, but we also recognize the diversity.
I want to dive into those political disagreements if we can. And you've never shied away from that, and people admire you for that. I mean, some pastors, they don't want to wade into those waters. And I remember years ago, I was a member of the White's Chapel United Methodist Church, Pastor John McKellar in Southlake, Texas. And I became a member because I noticed they didn't have an American flag anywhere in the... And then they called me. One of the associate pastors said, oh, yeah, we do. And it's over there. And they showed where it was. And sure enough, they did. But I'm always fascinated when churches don't want to tackle abortion.
Right.
They don't want to tackle morality. They don't want to tackle spiritual warfare. Some pastors avoid that. You do not. Was that a conscientious decision you made a long time ago, or was that an evolution?
It actually happened many years ago when I was in Wichita Falls, Texas. I was pastor, and a lady made me aware of two books in the library in the children's section, Heather Has Two Mommies and Daddy's Roommate, children's books written for homosexuals. And one Sunday, she said, what are you going to do about this? I said, what do you mean, what am I going to do? I'm a pastor. Well, you need to stand up. Wow. And I was just preaching that week, happened to be on Sodom and Gomorrah, and I was making the point that you can't condone what God has condemned. And I realized I had to make a decision, so on live television while I was preaching my sermon, I held those books up, I explained what they were, I said they're in our library, and I said our library's not getting these books back, I'm going to hold on to these books. And Mike, that was the shot heard around the world.
Wow.
I mean, Rush Limbaugh covered the story, PBS came down and did an hour documentary about this controversy about the pastor who wouldn't return the library books. I realized at that point, if I were going to be a faithful expositor of Scripture, I had to stand up for truth. Not about secondary political issues, but the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of life, religious liberty. These are biblical issues. And if we don't stand up for those issues, who will?
It had to be a hefty library fine, Pastor Jeffers.
Well, you know, the local newspaper said I needed to be put in jail. jail.
For stealing the books.
For stealing the books. And so we brought the TV cameras, and I wrote a check to pay for the books.
Oh, there you go. There you go. All right, there you go. Let's talk Christian nationalism. Yeah. And I want to talk about your book as well. But, you know, I hear a lot of debate within the evangelical community. For example, let me play out the argument for you. How can evangelical Christians support a guy like Donald Trump? He's crude. He's crass. He says tough things about his opponents. And then other evangelicals say this was one of the most staunch pro-life, pro-religious liberty presidents we've ever had. Can you tackle, first of all, what Christian nationalism means to you and this debate within the evangelical world about supporting or not supporting Donald Trump?
Well, first of all, let's admit there are some extremes, even among conservatives. There's no place for racism or anti-Semitism at all. No, we shouldn't place our love for America above our love for God. But I think for the most part, Christian nationalism is a term that was manufactured by the left to shame conservative Christians from getting involved in the political process. And you know, they're such hypocrites, Mike. I mean, if people from the left, pastors, get involved in social issues, it's called social justice. If conservative preachers dare speak up, it's called Christian nationalism. And so I believe Christian nationalism, if you're going to define it, is believing that America was founded as a Christian nation. If you believe that it espouses that Christians ought to get involved in the political process, then I'm a Christian nationalist. I think the Bible teaches that.
As a talk host, I'm sort of being Switzerland as 2024 comes, because I'm a Republican. I want to win in 2024. Joe Biden has wreaked havoc. The Democrat leadership and ideology is destroying the country, city by city, state by state, these radical rogue district topic, but we've got to win, and we can talk a good game, we can. So, listen, you know Mark Davis, my colleague,
yes,
in Dallas, he's got a rule: I'll vote for a disembodied head if it's a Republican, because we've got to stop, we've got to win. Do you have a dog in the hunt? Do you like, are you with President Trump? Are you with Governor DeSantis? Do you want to make an endorsement?
Well, look, first of all, I've been with President Trump now for almost 8 years. I was one of the first megachurch pastors to endorse him in 2015.
I remember that.
And he was kind enough to ask me to come give the prayer and speak at his first rally this year in Waco.
Yep.
And so I'm not abandoning President Trump. He doesn't pretend to be perfect. I'm not perfect. Christians say, well, I don't approve of some things in his past. I tell people I don't approve of things in my past,
sure,
as well. But that's not the issue. He embodies Christian principles. He is pro-life, pro-Israel, pro-religious liberty and life. He has done more for the Christian agenda than any president in history. So I'm not going to abandon him. I think he will make a great president. I do think he's going to be the nominee in 2024. And I said to him recently, I think he's going to be the 47th president.
Let's dive into your new book, just out, What Every Christian Should Know, 10 Core Beliefs for Standing Strong in a Shifting World. You and I were at a little banquet last night in your honor. Of course, Salem Media Group has a deep commitment to you and to Pathway to Victory, and we so appreciate that partnership over the many years,
yes,
that we've all sort of been together. We talked a little bit about how tough it is to stand tall in a time like this. And I shared with you in the news side of things, I'm lucky enough to work for a company where I can express my beliefs as a Christian and my faith. Standing tall, standing strong in a shifting world right now is everything. That's what your book is about.
Well, it is. And, you know, we're all alarmed at the polls that show so many Christians are abandoning the core beliefs of Christianity. Poll a couple of weeks ago, 50% of professing Christians don't believe Christ was sinless. Another poll, 60% of evangelicals believe it's more than one way to heaven. And the private question is, why are so many people letting go of these basic truths? And the answer is, Mike, they're not hearing them in the pulpit. So many pastors are, you know, teaching sanctified self-help messages or, you know, feel better, try to feel good, how to have success in your career. And so this book, What Every Christian Should Know, I go back to the 10 core beliefs of historic Christianity and explain what they are and why we should embrace them and what they mean to us today.
It's going to be a great read. I'm looking forward to it. What Every Christian Should Know, 10 Core Beliefs. Beliefs, Pastor Robert Jeffers, or wherever you get books. It will be a compelling read. I need some spiritual help, and I can't think of anybody better than you to help. We're in the middle of every spring I do a campaign with the Christian Ministry Prison Fellowship.
Yeah.
And you remember the late Chuck Colson came up with a ministry to minister to the children of people in prison. And these are often minority kids. These are sons and daughters of a mom or a dad in prison. And we get to send them to summer camp for a week. And not only do these kids get to be outside with other kids, they have an opportunity that they would normally never experience. They also hear the gospel. They learn about the love and grace and redemption of Jesus Christ and God. And $200 will sponsor one child for a week. Yesterday, I think it's because of the atmosphere we're in, my gosh, we had 120 extra kids sponsored in one day. We're up to four, but now today, so far, just one child has been sponsored. We're up to 403. I need a little prayer. I want to see if you don't mind blessing this campaign and seeing if God will bless this campaign and get a whole bunch of hearts and minds who are listening to us right now to donate by going to MikeOnline.com and contributing. Would you mind doing that with us?
I'd be honored to. I got to go with Chuck Colson 40 years ago into a prison and hear him preach the gospel. So I believe in prison fellowship. I'm glad you're partnering with them. And let me just say, every civilization is just one generation away from barbarism. If we don't pass faith on to children, like the ones you're sponsoring, we're going to lose the Christian faith in this country. So I appreciate what you're doing. Let me pray for
you.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. And let's share that prayer with the nation, and maybe we'll have a lot. I'd love another surge. If we get another 100 kids today, my goodness, we'll be over 500 children to go to summer camp, children of American prisoners. So, Pastor Jeffers, do your thing.
Heavenly Father, your Son said that we should not prevent the children from coming to us, to you, for such is the kingdom of God. And Father, I thank you for Mike Gallagher and Salem Media and all that they're doing to reach these children who have grown up in circumstances not their own fault, not their own choosing. But Father, they need the gospel. They need to know that they are loved regardless of what has happened to them. And I thank you for Mike and his willingness to reach out and to support these kids and to provide for their physical and spiritual needs. And I pray that you would move in the hearts of our listeners right now to do something positive for these children, and in the same way, do something positive for our country by reaching these children for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant Mike success in everything he does for your honor. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. You can go to MikeOnline.com, that angel tree banner at the top of the page. See, I got some friends in high places. And maybe we'll get some divine intervention. We're going to have another big surge today. Please go to MikeOnline.com. Click on the Angel Tree banner at the top of the page. Give whatever you can. And you can watch the counter right now. We have 403 out of 845 children going. Dr. Jeffers, great seeing you in person.
Great to see you. Thanks for standing strong, Mike.
Keep fighting the good fight.
You do.
There's a lot more coming up from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. Stay with us.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.